any game, I can say, oh, okay, well, this guy didn't play very well. Quickly didn't shoot well. Maxey took too many shots. Higgins, you know, turned the ball over. Any game, I have something that I can give you.
Sure.
How does a team attempt 44 free throws? Man, like, if you're doing that, that's more... okay, so mathematically, I'm not a math whiz. I do sports radio. I don't do math for a living. But that means that they got over a free throw a minute. Because there's 40 minutes in a basketball game.
That's a very good point.
There's 44 free throws attempted. So that means they got a free throw a minute. Imagine a minute ticking off the basketball clock.
Yeah.
And the referee stopping the game, putting an Auburn player at the free throw line and just letting him shoot a free throw. That's what they did per minute.
That's a great way to put it. I haven't seen anybody. Yeah, when you bring that up, that's like, it doesn't. How does that happen? And you look, Auburn shot, I think 30%, 35% from the field. They were just throwing up shots and nothing was going in. If you were watching the game, you're like, how is this happening? They were shooting three after three. Nothing was happening, but they had 17 offensive rebounds. And they got 17 points off of those offensive rebounds, and that's why you had Higgins fouled out with like I think 10 minutes to go in the second half. He had three fouls, which if you got up to go get something to eat and came back, Higgins was out of the game with three fouls, and then quickly ended up fouling out. And it was just a culmination of things. But 44 free throws,
and Wiley had three fouls with a minute 32 I think left in the first half.
Yeah,
and then that's it.
Yeah.
That's all the fouls he had the rest of the game. The second half, he was foul free.
That dude is a monster.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. He
had seven offensive rebounds. My goodness.
He manhandled Nick Richards. Goodness. And that's not an easy thing to do. Because Nick Richards, I mean, he's like, everyone's seen this year. He's been on a tear. But Wiley, that's a full-grown man. And Nick Richards, we thought was that. But Wiley, he's a big dude.
Nick Richards is that. He just wasn't that this game.
Yeah, he just got out-rebounded, out-physicaled, and that was kind of the tail of the game. And I would say, I mean, when a home team shoots 44 free throws, maybe there were some home calls. I don't know.
Well, no way. Jimmy, we don't say that around here. There was no home calls.
If you saw how angry Bruce Pearl was that whole game, you would have thought they were getting no calls. It's like, bro, you're going to break the record for most free throws, and he's out here. He's going to burst a blood vessel in his eyes. Their get back coach had a lot of work. Anytime Bruce Pearl would stand up, and you could see him like at the bottom of the screen, the other guy behind him in a suit would stand up and like, hey, no. And then he'd sit down. They'd both sit down. And he'd stand up.
It's like
the other
Sean McVay's coach that was a fun story leading up to the Super Bowl, which we will be talking about in our final NFL Power Hour of the 2019 season, which I know it's 2020, but the 2019 football season, it bleeds over into 2020, which means that we have one more football Power Hour until the new football season. Yeah. So
I kind of just want to talk about it the whole, but there is others. There's
why
a couple
would you
other want
to talk about it? There's nobody's to. Oh yeah, the 49ers. Are
oh yeah,
yeah, whatever. Yeah.
But back to this game, Higgins. He's been kind of on a weird stretch. He had six turnovers, and he didn't play that much because he had three fouls. He didn't play most of the first half, I think. With he might have played a couple minutes within 10 minutes of halftime.
Yeah.
And then he came back and he didn't start the second half. So to have six turnovers and the amount of minutes that he played, he had 5 points, three assists, and six turnovers.
And he was 2 for 5 from the field, 1 for 2 from three. And that three-pointer that he hit was really early in the game because Maxey had a three, he had a three, and then quickly had a three-point play to begin the game, and it seemed like, oh, they're gonna just bounce out to this lead, and they're gonna dominate the game. And watching the game, you'd think, I personally thought Kentucky played better than Auburn did, personally. Yeah. But when you combine the amount of free throw attempts that Auburn got, so like, get this. Kentucky was 20 of 24 from the free throw line, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
That is so good, okay? But Auburn was 33 of 44. So with the free throw disparity, if you would have evened out their free throws, if you would have put them at 20 each, okay, subtract 13 points from Auburn, who wins that game?
I would say Kentucky.
That would Kentucky. I mean, mathematically. Yes. Again, I didn't go to math school.
Just doing numbers.
But that would give Kentucky the win.
Yeah.
And to be to have 20 more free throws than another team, which, by the way, if you broke that down into a half, if you did 20 in 20 minutes, that would be a free throw per. If you stopped the game and put an Auburn guy on the free throw line every minute, yeah. I mean, it's just a little surprising.
Yeah.
On the disparity. Especially when it's a home game, especially when it's an ESPN blockbuster, especially when Auburn has all this momentum where apparently Auburn's just a basketball school now because we know their football program isn't very good.
Hey, Bo Nix is there. He's the future. Okay.
Overrated. Future. Bo Nix was the most overrated player in college football this year, in my opinion.
Okay but he wasn't.
Put the young man in a big game and he blew it.
Well, okay, yes, he's a true freshman, so of most true freshmen would be overrated when in consideration with Jalen Hurts and named.
Jalen Hurts wasn't overrated.
Yeah. I mean, he's give him a break. He's
Tim Tebow wasn't overrated. He didn't play a lot his freshman year. But anyways, we're going off the subject. No, that's all I have to say about the game. That's literally all I have to say. The only other thing I was saying is that I think Kentucky played better except for the free throw disparity.
Yeah.
And the offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
You cannot give up 17 offensive rebounds, especially Austin Wiley. We're talking about him. He had 10 rebounds that game.
Yeah.
3 were defensive.
Yeah.
7 were offensive.
Which makes sense when you do the math.
Because Nick Richards did not play well.
Mm-mm.
Which is the first time
in a long
time since the Louisville game. Well said. Well said, Drake. He just didn't play well. And me and my buddies were talking about it in this group chat because, you know, during the game, you got to text your buddies like, LOL, you know, Hagans just hit a 3 to start the game, blah, 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 whatever you want to talk about. But we were talking about it. He would put the ball on the floor for one dribble and he'd pull up and he'd do a jump hook.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he was missing those, and he just got further and further and further outside of the paint, which just means that as good as he is, he still has room to grow.
Yes.
Because he had some baskets where he had like a putback dunk, and it was like, oh, man.
Yeah, he
like,
had a
look
couple
at Nick.
Nasty putback dunks.
I mean, he's a nasty guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, by the way, shout-outs to Tyrese Maxey. Shout-outs to Emmanuel Quickley. They showed up. 22 points for Maxey, 23 points for Quickley. Quickley was 9-for-10 from the free throw line. Tyrese Maxey, 10-for-12.
Yeah.
And I thought Maxey played well. I thought he did. I mean, he was only 5-of-14, which means he, that's cool, missed more than he made. But I still thought that he did a good job.
Yeah.
Like, overall. And then Quickley showed up, but nobody else really did. I thought EJ, even though he
shows glimpses.
He's so funny, man. Like, he's just a guy. EJ was 1-for-1 from the field.
Yeah. It looked good.
Which, good for you, EJ.
It should have been a 3.
Way to be 100% from the field.
Yeah.
I thought he played well at the beginning of the second half, and then he got in foul trouble.
Yeah.
That's all that was. And
yeah.
Just was what it was, man. I mean, you win some, you lose some. What did I text you? The last thing that you received, like if you go to our handy-dandy smartphones and you go to the text message section, and I said, you said some stuff, and I said...
I said we should get a certain hashtag trending about Auburn.
I said,
Auburn.
Chill, bro. Honestly, I don't know. I'll say Auburn wins.
Yeah.
So, I mean... It's not like it was that unpredictable.
Right. I mean, Auburn was favored. It was at home. It was a big game for Auburn. They had a whiteout in their, you know, in their stadium.
Including the referees that wore white.
Oh.
Because they cheated.
Oh, that's what it was.
You know what? I'll say it. Auburn cheated. All right? They cheated. Okay. You get 20 more free throws than the other team, you cheated. Somehow, some way.
I mean, I was waiting for Cal to bring it up after the game, but he didn't.
Cal's such a stand-up guy. He would never do that.
But I don't know if this is a real stat, but he said of Auburn's 17 offensive rebounds, 7 of them, Kentucky players didn't get their feet off the ground. I don't know if he just made that up, but it makes sense that they just were kind of flat when it came to offensive rebounds.
Is that one of those sabermetric
stats. That's a next-gen stat. You know how the NFL's got all their next-gen stats with those the Amazon commercials that they do. It's like, there was a 7.5% chance that this ball is threaded through the needle.
Is that part of the RPI index?
Something
Wait,
like
the
that,
net rating?
Yeah. Mm, yeah.
Man, we had a caller on the afternoon show that literally talked about... They asked about the Duke-Louisville game and said, would you rather Louisville beat Duke, even though we hate both of them, because it would help our net rating? And I'm like, I don't care about net rating.
Does net ratings have anything to do with getting in the tournament? No.
I never felt like an old-timey like basketball coach or basketball fan where I was like, you know, we just got to win our next game.
Yeah.
Because when it comes down to it, the net rating will settle itself out if you just win basketball
the
games.
The people that don't really know basketball or watch basketball or understand it, they worry about the net rating. Do you win a game or do you lose a game?
You just insulted our caller base. Jimmy, call us 381-1313 to talk crap at Jimmy. 381-1313 here on ESPN Sports Radio. 1392.5 on Jimmy and Angelo.
Yeah. If you're that worried about a net rating, is the team winning or are they losing? If the 49ers are in the Super Bowl and their net rating is 15th in the league, does it matter? Their offense, Jimmy Garoppolo's net rating is probably not in the top 12.
Jimmy Garoppolo's net rating is out of this world. His on-field production is very tiny. Well, Jimmy, NFL Power Hour. We will talk about the Super Bowl. Okay. This is not the Super Bowl time.
Look, it's been a while since...
We really don't have much else to talk about, though. We could probably stretch Super Bowl talk.
Maybe. I mean, we don't have to do Super Bowl talk yet, but there were some awards that were given out yesterday in the NFL.
We can do that.
Okay.
We can do that, even though we should save it for the NFL Power Hour. But I guess we'll do
it now.
There
wasn't a lot that went on in college basketball yesterday. Three Big East teams that were ranked in the top 16 lost.
Who cares?
Exactly. That's the only other thing that happened.
ESPN put that up on their ticker like, yo.
It was a big
deal.
Can
you believe it? And we were like... Yes, because half of the Big East is in the ACC now. Yeah, like after
it was Villanova, Seton Hall, and Butler.
Oh yeah, like I mean, the one that surprised. I mean, like Villanova. It's like, oh, Villanova lost. Like Seton Hall. Who cares? Butler.
Yeah.
Even more. Who cares?
Two teams that are going to be 9 or 10 seeds in the tournament lost. Okay.
Yeah. First round and out.
Okay.
Losers.
That's a little
harsh.
Right. So, but
I didn't mean to say that.
We can talk about the NFL awards that were given out yesterday. The MVP was announced. There might have been a shocker or two in these awards. I'll say there was one for sure. The offensive rookie of the year. I wasn't expecting.
I did actually. That was my pick too.
Okay.
So that
there you go.
Interesting.
Okay, then we'll fight about it.
All right, let's fight.
Okay. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
When you are injured or intentionally attacked at a...
The latest sports news, scores, opinion, and commentary. If that's not enough, you should seek professional help. ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. This is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo. And our telephone number is 381-1313. So I know it's not the NFL Power Hour.
It's not.
But
even though that you just decided to usurp that,
well,
it's fine.
You know, there's a lot happening with the NFL right now, and I mean, I guess we could go through and talk about
I'm so excited.
The college basketball that did nothing really happen.
No. Yesterday. By the way, give us a call 381-1313 381-1313 if you want to talk about the Kentucky Auburn game, because that was a doozy. But yes, the NFL awards is what I'm excited about because I mean, I'm not one to gloat, except for all the time, but Lamar Jackson, did your boy call it or did he call it?
Spoiler alert.
Did I say that Lamar Jackson for going on 2 years now. You've known me long enough to know that I was over here like, you know what? That Lamar Jackson, the guy that won a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, Jimmy. I said, you know what? He's not a bad football player.
No.
He's not.
Some would say.
He's not. And then he just was the second ever unanimous MVP and third youngest. Well, actually, he's the second youngest player to ever win an MVP. Jim Brown won two MVPs like 21 and 22. And then, you know, did you know that Joe Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, isn't he kind of? He's like 23, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should be on a walker. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, send him to the nursing home.
Honestly, I don't think he should be the number one overall pick. He's just durability issues. He's kind of old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you want to break down Joe Burrow's NFL prospects?
I think he's going to fall.
I mean, arm strength, not elite. Mm. What are we going to do about it? But, yeah, get into the NFL awards, Jimmy.
All right. So, you mentioned it. Lamar won the MVP unanimously. There was no question, which is why unanimous. No one else got a vote. Offensive player of the year, which I find this strange. Maybe you know this more than I do, Angelo. How did Lamar Jackson not win Offensive Player of the Year? Michael Thomas won Offensive Player of the Year. If you're the MVP, how do you not win Offensive Player of the Year when you play offense? Do they just give it to someone else because they're like, he won MVP? Like, same thing. Sometimes you see the guy that wins the Heisman doesn't win the Maxwell Award. It's the best quarterback.
Again, I don't go to math school, know, but that is weird.
I can't sometimes, be the only one that thinks
the quarterback
this, right?
That wins the Davey O'Brien isn't the quarterback that wins the Maxwell, but it just happens.
Yeah.
Because the Offensive Player of the Year award is essentially best non-quarterback, unless there's like two quarterbacks that deserve it. Like, I'm surprised Russell Wilson didn't win Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Because usually the second place to the MVP is always an offensive player, and they always win
the
Offensive Player of the Year.
But so, I guess because Michael Thomas broke Marvin Harrison's record for most catches, they had to give him something, and he can't win MVP.
Look, Michael Thomas, great receiver. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas, not the Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey should have gotten it over Michael Thomas.
1,000%. Almost give it to Derrick Henry, then over Michael Thomas.
Yeah, what did Michael Thomas actually do?
He broke
a record. That's really cool. Yeah. Congratulations. Julio Jones is a better receiver than you.
No argument. Straight up.
DeAndre Hopkins. Oh,
yeah. My face lit up.
Now we put DeAndre Hopkins on the map. I think Michael Thomas is a great receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the three or four best receivers in the league. And this year, he broke Marvin Harrison's record. Not the offense. I mean, like the media said he was, and I mean.
Christian McCaffrey had 100 catches. They looked at which players have the most catches in the last three seasons. McCaffrey, I think, is third or fourth on that list. He's a running back.
Of all players. Obviously, Michael Thomas is first.
But. Sure. But McCaffrey is a running back, and he's in the top five. He's amazing. He should have been. Thank you.
I mean, yes, he should have been Offensive Player of the
Year. All right, so Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore.
Just went right over it. You were upset. You were done with that one.
Done with Michael Thomas. I didn't
But Lamar Jackson, you didn't spend any time talking about it, obviously. But, what do you think? I mean, you just steamrolled over. You were like, yeah, he's the MVP, and you moved on. But this is historic.
It is historic. Do you think... It's sustainable. Not obviously. He's not going to do.
Oh my this gosh! You're one of those people. You're one of those people that is it sustainable? Who cares? Who cares if it's sustainable, Jimmy? He won it. Uh-huh. He won the MVP.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about. Everybody wants to get on Lamar Jackson, and everybody wants to talk about is it sustainable? Can it go? My answer to that is it is now. It is now. Like Cam Newton. Cam Newton. Okay? Is it sustainable? What, we're in year 10 of Cam Newton, and he's finally breaking down after 10 years? Okay.
Well, he'd been breaking down the last 2 years.
Michael Vick was great for years.
Yeah.
And then he took a two-year hiatus. And then he came back, and he played at the best football he had ever been at.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, is he going to break down? Let's just talk about the guy that led the NFL in passing yards that had 1,200 rushing yards, which blew out the NFL record.
He literally changed. He's changing the way offenses are. Yes, I will say that. And by sustainable, I just mean we all know that he's not going to do these same numbers every year of his career.
But Jimmy, but here's the thing. When Patrick Mahomes won the MVP last year, I don't think we sat here and said, is this sustainable?
Well, there were people. Like,
is Peyton Manning, is a white quarterback sustainable? People we don't ask those questions.
About Pat Mahomes, questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, oh, is he going to do... Yeah, maybe we thought, is he Brett Favre to where maybe the interceptions pump up or something?
Yeah.
But to me, if Lamar Jackson was white, we wouldn't be asking, is he sustainable? It would just be enjoyable. What about, is Christian McCaffrey sustainable, Jimmy?
I don't think so.
No.
With this amount of workload.
With that many touches and stuff.
So I don't think it's wrong with Pat Mahomes. Was brought up because he threw 50 touchdowns. But that's not sustainable.
But when we talked about Christian McCaffrey winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, we didn't say, he didn't win it, but is it sustainable? That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying is that
appreciate the moment is what you're saying. Like,
that's
with what Lamar had.
The award. That was the whole point of him winning an MVP.
I'm not saying that he didn't have a phenomenal season, and he's arguably the most exciting player to watch we've ever seen. He makes Michael Vick look like, oh, that guy was good.
Michael Vick was fine compared to Lamar. That's how good Lamar Jackson is. Michael Vick was fine.
Yeah.
He was a pretty good quarterback compared to Lamar. Let's pull up Lamar Jackson's stat. Let's see what he led the NFL in. He led the NFL in passing touchdowns with 36. Touchdown percentage on every 100 throws.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 9 out of every 100 throws went for a touchdown.
That's pretty high.
Only 6 interceptions, so he went 36-6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He had a QBR of 81.1, tops in the NFL. 113.3 quarterback rating. Aaron Rodgers has the record at 121, so he wasn't far behind that. He led the NFL, in what's called AV. Which Pro Football Reference, if you look up that website, it's a comprehensive statistic website of NFL players. And AV is kind of their adjusted value, which just means who were the best players.
Almost like the WAR stat in baseball.
So Patrick Mahomes had a 22 adjusted value. Yeah, it's their WAR stat, essentially. 25 is one of the tops ever. I think the top ever AV is LaDainian Tomlinson. I think he had about a 27 the year he had 31 touchdowns in that year, which is still mind-blowing. All right, so let's go to his rushing yards for Lamar Jackson because, God forbid, a quarterback rush the ball.
And all of those stats, not bad for a wide receiver, huh? All of those stats.
I'm so vindicated. Jimmy, like everything that I ever said about Lamar Jackson, because I was sitting there and I was like, if this was Kyler Murray's draft class and not Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold's and Josh Allen's, like, I was like, he's a top 10 pick. He would rival Kyler Murray for the number one pick. I said that and everybody's like, you're crazy. All right, so he led the NFL in touchdowns, passing. He led the NFL in quarterback rating. He led the NFL in touchdown percentage. 113 quarterback rating. I'm sorry, QBR is what he led the league in. He only ran the ball for as much as people are like, oh, he's just a running quarterback. It's not sustainable. 176 times.
Yeah.
That's not a lot, Jimmy. That's
what is that? 10 rushes a game-ish?
I mean, I would say about 10, about 11.
Yeah.
On 176 carries, which most running backs, it takes about 300 to get this mark. He had 1,206 yards rushing.
Which in turn, Derrick Henry had about 300 carries and only had 300 more yards.
Yes.
To put that into perspective, let your brain comprehend that.
Yeah. Instead of the sustainable talk, we get 176 rushes, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, led the league in rushing yards per attempt, 6.9.
Yeah.
So almost every time that he said, I'll run it, he had 7 yards a carry.
Now, imagine Lamar Jackson. His number one target, besides Mark Andrews, we would say is Hollywood Brown, right? He was hurt for a lot of the year. So what's going to happen when he gets a real, true stud number one receiver?
Imagine if you switched Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes.
With the weapons. Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Which we'll get into that conversation.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown is what people think he's going to be. Tyreek Hill.
I don't mean to break you off right here, but can I give you a hot take?
I love hot takes.
Patrick Mahomes is not the best player in the Super Bowl.
I don't think that's a hot take.
I'm going to explain later. It's
spicy.
In the industry, we call that a tease. But he's not the best player in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I'm surprised you don't think that's a hot take, because everybody thinks Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the universe, even though Lamar Jackson won an MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you know what? Hot take. I'll take Lamar over Patrick.
Okay. That's a bit of a hot take.
Is
if you're starting a franchise, just taking Lamar.
I think he's the better football player.
I mean,
because
it's hard to argue.
It is because he just won the MVP.
Yeah.
And by the way, his career record at quarterback in the regular season is 19-3.
For Lamar?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, I will say just how you really have been one of the people that I've seen, not many people have, that have touted Lamar Jackson as he is going to do it. I was kind of in the middle. I definitely wasn't the guy that's like, he should be a wide receiver. He's not that good. All he does is run. But I was hesitant to be like, I did not see this season coming. But watching him play, it's like, how are you going to stay? He's not a fluke. The way that he runs the ball, it's not like, oh, well, defense, just put a spy on him. He's the fastest guy on the field. He has a very strong arm. Of course, he has to work on accuracy. A lot of young quarterbacks have to work on accuracy. It doesn't matter if you're a running quarterback or you're not a running quarterback. He will progress as he gets older. Plenty of quarterbacks. Kyler Murray has to work on his accuracy. But people don't talk about that with him.
Yeah.
It's only a Lamar thing because he's a stereotypical just a runner. Like, no.
Jimmy,
you don't lead the NFL in touchdown passes as a fluke. That just doesn't happen.
Jimmy, I put my pants on one leg at a time. Like Lamar everybody else, except when I put them on at the same time.
Lamar doesn't put his pants on one leg.
Can I tell you something? Lamar Jackson, bad playoff game, false narrative. False narrative. I'm gonna be out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Everybody said against the Titans, oh, Lamar Jackson, is he a game away from being a choker in the playoffs? Okay, his first game was as a rookie against the Chargers, and then that fourth quarter against the Chargers, he came alive.
Yeah.
And he was excellent. Let me tell you this. Does a choker rush the ball 20 times for 143 yards?
No.
And you're like, oh, well, that's not a quarterback's job. One, shut up. If you're that person, if you are that person that says quarterback doesn't run the ball, shut up right now.
Yeah,
Don't call our show.
You're stuck in the 70s.
Don't do it. 381-1313. Don't call our show.
Do it.
If you're that person.
Do it.
Because that is stupid. Because you are stupid if you think that. Because when you rush the ball for 143 yards on 20 times, that's just being an efficient football player. That's being an efficient football player. If Derrick Henry does that, it's great. If LeSean McCoy does that, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
If Raheem Mostert or Matt Breida does that, it's great. All right? So I'm going to put that out there right now. First ever player in NFL history to throw for over 300 yards and rush for 100 yards in a playoff game. First ever. Lamar Jackson. And a loss.
Yeah.
But he lost the game, so he's a choker. Two interceptions. One of those went off the hands of Mark Andrews.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. Was it great? No. Were the Titans good? Yes.
They were the hot team.
I am so mad.
It's just
about people.
If it fits your narrative, it's a choke game. If Tom Brady were to have a game like that, it's like, oh, well, you know, he doesn't have a lot of help around him. Look, who is he throwing to? Gronk's not here. No one talks about Brady choking this year.
He threw the ball 59 times.
That doesn't even
against
make sense.
The Titans. In what world does Lamar Jackson throw 59 times in a football game for you?
No quarterback should throw that much.
None.
I don't care who you are.
No,
Drew Brees.
Even Mahomes.
No.
Even Mahomes. Like, Mahomes, I'll cap it out at 40.
Mm-hmm.
But don't, it's...
You do that, you're going to lose. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, you know, the Niners and Saints earlier this year, I think Brees threw the ball 60 times, and it was a really close game. But 9 times out of 10, if you see that stat line, you could look at a quarterback and you say, oh, well, they lost that game. If he's throwing the ball 60 times.
Well,
that's just not who he is.
I think Lamar Jackson was the best player in football this year.
Without a doubt.
So, that's why I got so upset when you asked... Is it sustainable?
Yeah.
Who cares, man? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what did he do from his first game against Miami to his last game against Cleveland? What did Lamar Jackson do? And all he did was be the best quarterback in football.
Yes.
The best player in football, which I think
is a good point, because so many times, and myself included, where we see the greatness and we're like, obviously he won it anyways. Let's look at the future. But like, no, you're right. Why do we appreciate what this is? Because how many more times are you going to see this with a quarterback who's breaking into the league like this and changing the landscape of football and changing the way that high school kids play football and college kids play football? Like, you are now going to get the best athletes rather than them getting thrown at running back because they're fast. they're going to be at quarterback and then stay quarterback in college and then stay at quarterback in the NFL.
That's kind of always been a thing.
But so many times they get moved positions. So now Lamar is like, no, stick with this guy. Trust him. If he's an athlete, athletes can adjust. And when you're as good of an athlete as he is, he's figuring it out. And it's unheard of.
Instead of asking if this is sustainable, ask if he retired today, could he make the Hall of Fame? Because I say yes.
Huh? You think he would make the Hall of Fame in one season?
In two seasons, technically.
Two seasons. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, should we talk about the Hall of Fame?
No, we got to finish up the awards.
Okay. So we'll get into more.
And if you want to talk about Kentucky-Auburn, which I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I preferably don't.
I like
you give, you give a team 44 free throws.
Yeah.
Like the referees in Auburn did. I guess they were from Auburn, Alabama. you can hit the road, Jack, because that's the way I feel about that.
Don't come back.
So no more. But you can call us 381-1313 if you're dying to talk about the basketball game. But if not, we're going to continue on with the NFL awards because all we got through was NFL MVP and Offensive Player of the Year, which congratulations, Michael Thomas.
There's five
you,
more.
You shouldn't have won.
No, you shouldn't have.
But we have five more to go through.
We do have five more. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5.
Seeing you got ritualistic, cleansing my soul of addiction.
Do you have a job?
Yes!
Do you have...
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and several of my friends have a very severe disabling condition, but you'd never know it, not at least to look at them. That is, until you see them rubbing their elbows and wrists. What's the disability? It's lupus, and it's a chronic disease of the immune system. With lupus, the body's immune system loses its ability to make antibodies in a normal way, thus assaulting the body's own joints. But it's more serious than that. Lupus attacks the kidneys and the nervous system and other organs. It's not only painful, but dangerous. Lupus is a double handicap because it's invisible. As often happens with disabilities that are invisible, people with lupus don't often receive a lot of understanding. Well, you can offer support by learning more about lupus, the invisible disability. Learn the symptoms by following the link on disabilitycampaign.org.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you, and the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
Did you know that generic drugs are just as safe and effective as brand name?
Is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Dirty South. Uh-huh. Can y'all really feel me?
Feel us.
East Coast feel me.
Feel us.
West Coast feel me.
Say what?
Dirty South.
Here we go.
Can y'all really feel me?
Baby girl.
East Coast feel me.
Uh-huh.
West Coast feel me.
Can you feel us?
Dirty South.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN really Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo, and our number is 381-1313. We're talking NFL awards. The NFL honors were yesterday for the 2019-2020 season. So we talked about the MVP, Lamar Jackson, unanimous, the second ever unanimous MVP.
Only to, if you had told me, Angelo, who is the only other unanimous player in football history, I would never guess. I would have been like, all right, Peyton Manning in his 48 touchdown season. Or what is it? Was it 49?
I think it was 49.
Because Dan Marino had 48. Yeah. He had 49.
Then there's been only one other person to throw more than that.
No.
Brady didn't throw more?
He did, but Mahomes threw more, and then Peyton rebroke the record.
That's right.
In 2013 when he had 55 touchdown passes and with Denver.
Yeah.
But yes, I would have never guessed that. If any Tom Brady season, I would be like, well, of course it was Tom Brady when they went 16-0, obviously. It was 2010 Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Was the only other unanimous MVP. I would have never guessed. You could have given me I was going to say 100 tries, but there's only been like 54 MVPs in the Super Bowl era. So if I didn't get it, that would be pretty, you know, in 100 tries, I would be really doing bad at my job. Again, I didn't go to math school. I just, you know, this is what I do.
Yeah.
But give us a call, 381-1313, 381-1313, if you want to talk about Kentucky-Auburn, which I don't. I just don't.
But if you've got some valid points you want to bring up, or something to bring up about the game.
If you have any recipes from your kitchen cookbook about from Auburn, Alabama, I'm sure you gave it to the referees because that was some home cooking. All right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's what you're
saying. All right, 44 free throws to 24 for Kentucky. It's BS. But that's all I'm going to say about it. So get on with the NFL awards.
All right. So Lamar Jackson, MVP. Offensive player of the year, Michael Thomas. We already went over this. Defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots. Do you think there's any question as to anyone else that should have won this award? Stephon Gilmore is a pretty good shutdown corner.
I would say that Stephon Gilmore was deserving of the award.
Yeah.
I thought he was the defensive player of the year this year. I was actually at the Patriots Bengals game where Stephon Gilmore just played out of his mind.
He had that game, didn't he? Did he have a pick six
that game? He had two interceptions that game. One was a pick six. Yeah. Yes. And not only that, it's rare to see a guy. The Bengals went into a formation which they had one receiver out wide to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And all their other personnel was in the backfield or to the left.
Yeah.
And it was Gilmore in press coverage against that receiver. And the next closest defender was the defensive end.
Yeah.
And the safety was in the exact middle to the quarterback. And every other member of the personnel was to the middle of that safety or to the right.
It was about 15 yards between him and anybody
else.
It
was Gilmore Island. And let's just say that it was...
He did it.
It was lightly inhabited, that island. It was... He was excellent. I can't even think of a second guy to give the Defensive Player of the Year award to this year. I mean, you had a lot of really good defenders, and even on the best defenses, you had like great guys, but they all complemented each other. Gilmore just stood out above the rest. I think it's perfectly acceptable, and I think it was the right choice.
Yeah. So offensive rookie.
Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's what I was trying to think and asking you. Can you think of anyone? Because I couldn't think of someone who would have won. I mean, maybe there were a couple guys, but they would have an argument as to why they shouldn't have won. Whereas Gilmore, I can't think of an argument for why he shouldn't have won that award. I don't know if it was unanimous, but if there was another one that should have been, it would have been that one. Offensive rookie of the year, Kyler Murray for the Cardinals.
I completely and utterly, by the way, Stephon Gilmore, before we get into this, led the NFL in interceptions, led the NFL in pass breakups, 21 AB. Yeah. So, which is pretty dang good.
And like you said, with the AV stat, 25 is like one of the best numbers ever.
Yeah, 27 is the highest ever. If you get over 20, like that's that's an MVP level season.
Elite
season.
Yeah.
So, Kyler Murray should have won.
You think?
Rookie of the year.
I thought A.J. Brown would have won it just because he went on that tear at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he would have been at the front of everyone's mind, whereas Kyler Murray had a solid year throughout the year. But A.J. Brown was that electrifying player that everyone was watching and going into the playoffs when Tannehill was going on that run with him. And then you think, how good could his season have been if he'd had Tannehill all year and not Mariota?
A.J. Brown had 52 catches for 1,051 yards and 8 touchdowns. He had 60 rushing yards.
He had a lot of yak, A.J. Brown did.
He
is a tank.
He did have the yak. I think he had a great season for a rookie.
Yeah. I saw Josh Jacobs' name also in there in the discussion. I think it was between Jacobs, A.J. Brown, and Kyler Murray. DK Metcalf had a couple.
Well, AJ Brown wasn't even third place.
Really? Do you have the rankings in front of you as to who?
No, I'd have to look that up. He might have been third place. I'm trying to think. He only had nine. I think he had 9.5 votes out of the 50. So that probably was third place because I think Josh Jacobs had about 13 and Kyler had about 26.
Yeah.
But there was one other person. I forgot. There was another person in that mix. Josh Jacobs had 242 rushing yards for 242 rushing attempts for 1,150 rushing yards, seven touchdowns. Lamar Jackson had 176, 1,207, but, you know, as a quarterback.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
20 catches, 166 yards, no touchdowns or receiving, 1,300 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah.
So he had a good year, and there were people that were fake outraged that Josh Jacobs didn't get Offensive Rookie of the Year. Stop.
He didn't.
Stop.
I mean, really. He had another, like you said, he had a good year. So it was Murray with 26 votes, Josh Jacobs had 13 votes in second, A.J. Brown was third, and then Miles Sanders was fourth. So, and I feel like
Sanders was the other guy.
Yeah, if you look at this list, you can't really, I mean, are you really that outraged that Josh Jacobs?
Kyler Murray had 3,722 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
With no offensive line.
On top of that, he rushed for, and spare me with your quarterback shouldn't run the ball, 93 carries, 544, and four touchdowns.
Yeah.
So overall, he had over 4,000 total yards. He had 24 total touchdowns, and he was sacked the most in football, just to say how bad that offensive line was. I think he was excellent. I think he totally deserved it. I really do. I know that you didn't necessarily agree, but watching Kyler Murray, I got to go to Cincinnati and watch him play against the Bengals.
Yeah.
And the guy was just ready. For a guy that was only a one-year starter at Oklahoma and went straight to the NFL at 5'10", and I saw him in the locker room. He's very muscular, but very, very short.
Stocky.
And he's a phenomenal football player. I just thought he was great.
Yeah. So, defensive rookie of the year. Again, this one, I don't know if there was much argument here. Nick Bosa of the 49ers. Have you heard of them, the 49ers?
I mean, personally, I would have gone with Josh Allen, but...
Would you have, personally? Is that what you would have done personally?
Josh Allen? Yeah. Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Yes, Nick Bosa should have won defensive
Nick Bosa is a monster, and I don't think it'd be out of the question for him to win Super Bowl MVP.
You have a lot to learn when it comes to the UK media market. Okay. You shill for our guys. You might make a consolidation where it's like, yeah, maybe Nick deserved it. And then you talk about Josh Allen the rest of the 10 minutes.
Oh,
you've got to learn.
Okay.
You've got to learn how this works. Okay?
I know, but that's the thing is I'm learning. And I'm getting
there. No, you're not.
I'm learning.
No, you were terrible just now. You were terrible. Oh. All of you are terrible.
Well, it is that my 49ers are in the Super Bowl. And I just
we will get to... Jimmy, you've been trying... started with Kentucky Auburn talking. If you want to talk, 381-1313, that's... 381-1313 if you want to talk about Kentucky Auburn, because I don't want to talk about Kentucky Auburn.
We talked 15 minutes is about, I mean, with a game like that.
I know, but you manipulated the rules to the NFL Power Hour, which was supposed to be an hour. You get it? That's why it's called the NFL Power
I get it.
Hour.
I get it.
And you started it at 9:15 to 11 is what you try to do. That's the NFL Power Hour in 45 minutes.
It is the last one of the fiscal year.
I knew you were going to manipulate me with it being the last one of the year.
Anyways.
That's fair. All right, let's talk about the rest of the awards.
Okay, because we still have the Comeback Player of the Year and the Coach of the Year, which I think the Coach of the Year was wrong. Like most of these other ones that we talked about, I think there should have been a coach.
Oh, you 49ers fan.
No, you don't know. You don't know who I'm talking
exactly
about.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
All right, it's Jimmy and Angelo, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300. 92.5.
Don't play with it, don't be the silence. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better.
This is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Halloween. Taliban. Yeah. Jumpman.
It's Jimmy and Angelo. on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5, at Jimmy and Angelo on Twitter and the Facebooks. 381-1313 is our telephone number. So we're talking NFL awards for the 2019-2020 season. We've gone over all of the awards except Comeback Player of the Year and Coach of the Year.
Yeah, you just steamrolled over Kentucky Proud, didn't you?
Huh? I just steamroll over it. We're just moving.
I threw you under the bus. You I'm did. So sorry.
You did.
I totally,
how dare you?
I totally did. I just threw you right under it. All right. The Coach of the Year in the Defensive Rookie of the Year. That's what you said, right?
No, Comeback,
Comeback player of the Year. Okay, because we said Nick Bosa over Josh Allen. I thought Josh Allen was the Defensive Player, Defensive Rookie of the Year. You said Nick Bosa, but you know, I guess you were right in the end, you 49ers favored fan. But Comeback Player of the Year could have been really anybody else than Ryan Tannehill. How'd he go? What did he go? 9-2? No, he didn't go 9. Because Marcus Mariota had won one game, right? I think he went 7-2?
Yeah, I think it was
7-2. He went 7-2 in 9 games, yeah.
Yeah, Tannehill did.
Led the league in quarterback passer rating.
Yeah, he was on fire. He was one of those where he called his own shot and he said, I'm going to go here. And I may be the backup, but I'm going to bet on myself to get another contract. And he dang sure did.
He was traded.
Some money.
He was traded, to be fair.
He was, okay. I thought
for a fourth-round pick. But he was traded from Miami to Tennessee for a fourth-round pick.
See, for some reason, I thought he signed there.
No, he was traded. It was in the final year of his contract. He's going to be a free agent.
Okay.
Now, this coming season.
The big question is, do you think he resigns with the Titans? Because he could go anywhere and he's going to get...
If you're the Titans, do you really, want Ryan Tannehill as your starting quarterback?
Do you think this was like a flash in the pan kind of thing?
I think there is a less than 1% chance that he is not the starting quarterback of the Titans next year. Which means, just a roundabout way for those with double negatives, he's going to be their starter in 2020.
I was like, wait, I think that means that's good.
I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. I mean, obviously, anybody that listens to the show knows that. But, you know, I'm just saying.
So you think he's coming back? Because
no, he's absolutely going to be he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Titans in 2020. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
He's won over the city because they were done with Marcus Mariota.
He was number one in the league in passer rating and number one in the league in our hearts.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't. Nobody likes Ryan Tannehill.
In Nashville, he was.
Everybody else around is like, Ryan Tannehill. Ugh.
The talk around Nashville. Ugh. My brother lives in Nashville, so he's listening to the Nat. Like, his heartbeat is in Nashville. He gets a feel for it, and they like Tannehill. They've been done with Mariota for a while. They understood what they had with him, and it's not anything.
You know, going into last year, I was like, you know, Marcus Mariota is a top 10 quarterback.
They're not all home runs.
I was, you know, so like I told you earlier in the show, Jimmy, you win some, you lose some.
But you make up for that with your Lamar Jackson. Like, you've been on that. You were the first one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had Derrick Henry as the number one running back coming out of college over Ezekiel Elliott. And as good as Elliott was.
That fraud Ezekiel Elliott.
Was, yeah. Fraud. Cowboys fans, 381-1313. 381-1313. Fraud Ezekiel Elliott. Tired take. Ezekiel Elliott's the best running back in football. Wired take. Derrick Henry is the best running back in football. I would take Derrick Henry over Christian McCaffrey.
That I don't know if I could get on board with.
No, I know you can't, but I know you do. Yeah. For obvious reasons, I know you do. But Derrick Henry is a... You know what Derrick Henry does? He does it in the postseason.
Yeah.
McCaffrey doesn't.
He had that. Well, he did have that one when he really needed to come through. He didn't come through, even though we had back to back 180-yard games.
Okay, is Derrick Henry sustainable?
I mean, it's hard to say no. Your gut says no, because how can you have 400 carries a year? But he's done it since he was 15. He's had over 350 carries every year of his life.
He is amazing.
From high school to college to now the NFL is bizarre.
All right, and Coach of the Year, you thought it should go to Kyle Shanahan, and it went to John Harbaugh. Of course you did. Of course you thought it should go to Kyle Shanahan.
John Harbaugh wins the Coach of the Year.
You know what? Screw it. I agree with you. It should have been Shanahan.
Why? I mean, I just don't see why.
The 49ers should have been 6-10.
Yeah.
And they're in the Super Bowl.
They were 2-14, had the second pick in the draft, and now they're in the Super Bowl. How does that coach not get Coach of the Year? I don't get it.
Remember, give us a call, 381-1313, if you want to talk about Kentucky-Auburn. But this extended version of the NFL Power Hour is going into hour two now. So
because it's the last one of the football season. We're not going to get another one until August. It's so long from now. It's like 8 months or something. So we'll start that NFL Power Hour right after 10 o'clock. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5.
Five sets, Djokovic with an eighth title at Melbourne Park and a 17th Grand Slam championship. Only Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal have more major singles trophies. Spotlight today belongs to Miami, Florida, where the Chiefs and 49ers will clash in Super Bowl 54 with kickoff set for 6:30 Eastern. It is quite the matchup at the tight end position between Kansas City's Travis Kelce and San Francisco's George Kittle. They each had 1,000 receiving yards during the regular season and rank 1 and 2 in receiving yards since the end of last season. Good luck guarding either tonight, says Kansas City radio host Todd Lebo.
The groupings part for both of these teams, honestly, is going to be how are they going to handle the tight end? Because these are the two best tight ends in the league, and they're matchup nightmares for defenses. Are you going to do something with a linebacker? Are you going to do something with safeties? George Kittle, who's kind of unmatchable, you know, and it's kind of the same thing for Travis Kelce on the Chiefs side. You know, the Niners are going to have to figure out how they're going to guard him. And I think this tight end matchup should be a lot of fun.
Hadley will on game night. NBA Zion Williamson leads the Pelicans into Houston for a matinee against James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the Rockets. 1:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio in the ESPN app, 2 Eastern on ABC. Nets guard Kyrie Irving scheduled for an MRI today on his sprained right knee sustained in the loss to the Wizards. X-rays were negative.
Hey, it's the Gats. Join us Monday. We'll have the funniest thing from the sports weekend, plus I'll have my weekend observations. That is Monday on the Dan Levitard Show with me, Stu Gats, on ESPN Radio.
This is Jimmy and Angelo. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy out, and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
VIP, coming live from the VIP. Heard the night.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. We are back, and it is NFL Power Hour time, officially. We couldn't say NFL Power Hour because it wasn't 10 o'clock yet.
And now it's the NFL Power Hour.
Even though it's been the NFL Power Hour since
this whole time.
9:20 this morning. Whatever. It's okay, look, there's a football game today, and it's the last football game for a long time. And it's the last one that matters till, I don't know.
You don't want to talk about the Pro Bowl?
Yeah. I did like a couple things they did with the skills, the NFL skills, you know, that
I
whole thing.
I can't believe you saw it.
So there were certain parts where I was like, how did, I think we talked about it last week a little bit, how did Cordarrelle Patterson get in the best hands?
Like, because what are we doing here? Incredible. What are we doing here, guys? Anyway, Super Bowl.
All right. So,
which we will have here on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. FM, and we're streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. If you cannot get to a radio, you can listen to us on the internet, which is...
Or your phone.
Why the internet is amazing, which you can get the internet on your phone and then listen to us on there. Our coverage starts at 2.
That's a good point.
Even though the game starts at 6:30, which is why both.
Yeah.
If you want to hear pregame, if you want 4 hours of comprehensive Super Bowl breakdown, you can have it right here at 2 p.m. If you don't, you can tune in at 6:30 and just get the game.
If the 85 hours of Super Bowl talk all week hasn't been enough for you, which...
Do you somehow pay attention to that? Because
no.
I'm lucky enough, especially this year, to block all of it out.
Even as a diehard 49ers fan, the constant nonstop, because it's just they're just mucking up things to talk about that don't even really matter. I ignore it. It just does. It's kind of dumb to me. I mean, there's certain stuff that you want to hear about, but for a week, give me a day, like a pregame show. If I haven't seen anything, I'll watch that, but not 4 hours.
It was so insulting.
Give me 2 hours before the game and I'll listen to stuff.
It was so insulting to watch the pregame coverage of the 49ers and Packers because they just talked about the 49ers the entire time. Yeah. And I was over there and I was like, this is malarkey. Like this is bull honky. They should cover the Packers.
And then the
Packers went down 27-0 at half. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. They knew what they were doing.
So the Chiefs are still favored by 1.5. According to Vegas, they'd opened up at 1.5. It may have gone down to 1 at some time, but then it stayed Chiefs favored by 1.5. I've seen more people picking the Chiefs in a runaway than the 49ers, period. Which obviously, I'm picking the 49ers to win, but I don't think that's crazy. But according to experts, I am crazy.
I think that people are enamored with the flash and not thinking about... Like, here's the thing. My favorite food is pizza.
Yeah.
I love pizza. And I don't like homemade pizza. I like chain restaurant pizza. I like Domino's. No. I like Donato's. I like that type of pizza. But you know what? If I need something like to sustain me, to make me feel healthy, I know I got to get my meat and my potatoes and my broccoli. And that's the 49ers.
Yeah. You need.
And they are the meat and potatoes. And to tell you the truth,
they're a ribeye steak.
They're the better football team.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers are. And when it comes to betting, and I'm not giving you my pick. I'm going to give you my pick in the very, very, very last segment.
Spoiler, I think people have known my pick. If you've known anything about me.
Where could you be going with this?
Even if I was convinced the Niners would lose, I would still pick them. I would not put any money on it. I'm different. I wouldn't put any money on it.
I'd pick the opposite way. I always pick against the Packers, which has not worked out for me recently because they lose.
Yeah.
But
what?
I'm not happy with you right now. But no, I pick against them because I'm trying to go for her. I'll cover the one side while rooting for the other.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work out, which, by the way, that's why I'm our pick king this year.
This is true. Sometimes I'm not good at picking, even in the playoffs,
if you expand it out to the playoffs, I'm our pick king, by the way. So everybody knows I beat Jimmy head-to-head. And if you love picking money lines for football games, listen to Jimmy and Angelo every Sunday from 9 to 11 because we killed it this year.
I think you were like 70%.
I was close. I was really close to it.
Which really is pretty good. When you look at, you know, anyway, but you know.
I was really good, yeah.
Not to toot your horn.
I don't think that the game is going to be... I actually think this will go into overtime today.
Another overtime Super Bowl.
Well, the Patriots-Falcons game is the only game to in Super Bowl history go into overtime. I think this is going to be our second game to go into overtime. I think these teams are that even.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that the 49ers are in the Super Bowl.
You didn't think?
I can't. I had a thing with I did like a Facebook like watch party where me and my buddy did like an NFL season preview, and I had four categories. It was Super Bowl contenders, it was playoff contenders, it was maybe but probably not, and it was no chance. Where do you think I put the 49ers?
The latter, the last one.
No.
No chance.
No. Actually, I put them in the maybe.
Yeah.
But probably not. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to go about 6-10. I was like, you know what? You know, Jimmy G, they don't, you know, it'll take their defense a year or two. Nope. Nope. Kyle Shanahan should have been coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I am very impressed with the 49ers. I just think that their ability to run the ball. And you know what's funny is that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl and they have the best offense in the league and they look like, like a juggernaut. I sat here 3 months ago while we were doing this show, and I said, y'all are sleeping on the Chiefs because Pat Mahomes got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And when he first came back, everybody forgot about the Chiefs. It was Ravens. It was Pats.
Yeah.
It was Texans. It was all that. And I said, y'all are sleeping on the Chiefs, man. They're going to be the Super Bowl representative. Soon as the playoffs started, where did I go? Ravens.
Yep.
Because they were the best team in football.
I mean, it was hard not to.
Who did I not buy into? The second best team in football. I didn't buy it in the 49ers. Yeah. I was like, the Saints are going to win the NFC.
Yeah.
That didn't work out. All right. So I keep betting against the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I flipped on the Chiefs. So I'm pretty much against both teams.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go. If you're going to bet on the game, if you're going to put your hard-earned blue-collar money on this game.
It's tough to do.
Bet the odds. So if the 49ers have plus 105 and the Chiefs are minus 115, go plus 105.
Yeah.
Whatever you can make the most money off of.
Which either way, it's not going to be much. Yeah.
I don't think anybody that picks this game actually knows who's going to win.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
Agreed. Even if me picking the game, I'm still going over scenarios.
Oh, yeah, even if you, the most biased person in the world.
Yeah, because deep down, I do know, like, which is why I probably wouldn't put money on this game, just because my heart's in it too much. I can't do it. I would not be betting right, and I'm not going to bet my house on something that I'm this invested in.
Bet on the Chiefs.
I can't do that.
Bet on the Chiefs.
Why? So that way if they win and the Niners lose,
and
I still get money.
And you know
but
what?
If I lose my house,
if you
then
and
I
your
get a
lovely fiance go broke and you're living on the side of Algonquin, you can do it with pride knowing the 49ers won the Super Bowl.
It's true. I'll be like, babe, but they won.
Yeah, exactly. She'll be so happy.
She's like, but our home.
Yeah.
But they won. I have a t-shirt. I ordered a t-shirt and a hat. I got the DVD set thing. Well, you know the one that goes on right? They're like, Sports Illustrated, if you sign up right now.
Trust me. I know exactly what you mean.
I got it.
I can't wait to visit East Africa.
With all the...
So I can get the Chiefs Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Shirts.
Yeah.
I always thought that was like the weirdest thing. It was very nice. Like if you make the shirts to give it to like an impoverished community, but...
If not, you throw them away.
But those kids have no concept of American sports history though.
Mm-mm.
They got everything. They don't. I feel bad for them.
But it makes you appreciate things.
That's true. All right.
They don't care about sports.
The 49ers. I think the Chiefs. Here's the thing about the Chiefs. The reason why I think it's going to go over into overtime. The Kansas City Chiefs have an electric offense. They have the best group of skill position players in the league outside of Cleveland, Ohio. But they can't get anything right.
How'd that work?
I hate the Browns.
Kareem
I've told
Hunt.
You that, right? Like I hate them.
We stopped betting on picking them to win.
Oh no, I still haven't gone through our comprehensive like pick selection.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't talk about the Kentucky Sportsman of the Year, Jimmy, which I had a ballot in this year, and we had to because you said anything that's Kentucky related, we're getting out in the first 15 minutes. We talked about Kentucky Auburn, which you can talk with us at 381-1313. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it. But if you want to talk about it, I'll talk about it with you.
Yeah.
381-1313. Jimmy's not going to talk about it. He's been, you should see the smile on this man's face right now. He has been ready for the Super Bowl for like.
I'm just lasered in, okay?
For like a week and 13 days. He's been, I'm sorry.
Don't even do the math on that. It makes sense. It
was a week.
It makes sense.
No, it just meant that you knew that you were going to beat the Packers, which I think everybody and their mother knew.
As soon as I saw the Packers beat the Seahawks, I was like, we're going. I knew it. Anyway, do you want to talk about the Kentucky Sportsman of the Year?
No, I'm not talking anything with you.
Oh, okay.
After that statement, he said, as soon as I saw you beat the Seahawks, you were making reservations for Miami. You were like, what time does the flight leave out Sunday morning? I'll do the show. I'll go out.
Yep.
When we come back, how about this? When we come back, I'm going to tell you why Patrick Mahomes is not the best player in the Super Bowl tonight.
That's spicy, and I like it. That's coming up next. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
This is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. This music is a part of the NFL Power Hour, and that's what it is. It's the last NFL Power Hour until August. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jimmy and Angelo 381 1313 is our number. Angelo, you made a statement before we went to commercials.
And that was that if you want to talk about Kentucky and Auburn, you can get us a call at 381-1313. I don't want to talk about Kentucky and Auburn, but I will talk about it with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a road game in the SEC, it's a tough place because, like everybody knows, and this is the only day of the year I will say it, Kentucky is everyone's Super Bowl.
It is true.
When you play the Kentucky Wildcats, you get everybody's best game because the Kentucky Wildcats basketball team is every team's Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I'm saying it today, because I hate that saying. I think it's so pretentious. I think it is. So, even if it's true,
yeah,
which it is true, it is very pretentious. So I don't like to say it.
It kind of is.
But on today, I will say that the reason why Auburn won is because we are everyone super. Oh, look who's that on the television in the snow. That's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is the best player that's going to grace the field today. Not Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
Not Travis Kelce. Not Richard Sherman. Not Raheem Mostert. Not DeForest Buckner. Not Nick Bosa.
You forgot George Kittle.
Who? Kittle me timbers.
Yes.
I forgot. The second best player.
Okay.
On the field is George Kittle.
Okay.
But number one is Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is not mentioned in the best receiver. And by you, who was a wide receiver, who appreciates wide receivers, you never bring Tyreek Hill's name up.
Right.
In the best receiver conversation. Because whenever someone is that fast, they look at him as a gadget player. They don't respect him as a real football player because he is too fast. Okay? But my argument is that Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Julio Jones, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Offensive Player of the Year, which it took me 9 football players to get to the Offensive Player of the Year when I'm talking about best offensive players with Michael Thomas. If you had, and I think if you asked any defensive coordinator in the NFL the question, who's the player you don't want to face? It is Tyreek Hill. Because his explosiveness, his speed, and his ability to have that yak on top of just going deep, there's not a player in football that is harder to scheme for than Tyreek Hill. Because at this point, if the 49ers want to stop him, I truly believe that they're going to have to go into triple coverage against him.
Yeah.
I truly believe that. You're going to have a guy on the inside, you're going to have to guy on the outside, and you're going to have a guy deep.
Yeah.
To cover Tyreek Hill. If you have to commit 3 defenders to one guy, I'd say he's pretty dangerous. And as good as Pat Mahomes is, he is the... Look, I love Lamar Jackson. I would take Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes because of his dual threat ability. Patrick Mahomes is the best passer in the NFL.
Just pure thrower.
He's the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I would almost go as far to say that.
Yeah, you say that, but still take Lamar as your franchise quarterback.
Right, right,
yeah,
because it just depends on how you use him, whatnot, blah, blah, blah. But nobody throws the football like Pat Mahomes.
Mm-mm.
And as good as he is, if I was going into a Super Bowl game, still rather have Tyreek Hill. Because Patrick Mahomes can give you about, I'd say on per play, about a 20%, about a 10% chance to get a touchdown any play, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, like Lamar Jackson led the league in passing touchdown percentage, 9%, whatever.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, just being on the field, any play is 100%. Like, that goes to him.
Yeah.
Like that, like in the probability, it's close to 100%. I think that his deep threat speed, his ability in the return game, if they decide, I know Mecole Hardman was an all-pro returner in this game.
And
I would put Tyreek Hill back there. Do you remember when, against the Dallas Cowboys, when the Kansas City Chiefs, it was the end of the first half, and they had about 9 seconds left or something like that.
Yeah.
And instead of a Hail Mary, they just threw about a 20-yard pass to Tyreek Hill, and there were 5 defenders in front of him, and he got a touchdown.
It was like the other team had their controller unplugged.
It was the Cowboys.
Is what it looked like. You're like, wait, what happened? They threw the ball 30 yards in front of the end zone. How does that happen?
Because he's that good. Yeah. I think Tyreek Hill is the best player in the Super Bowl, and he is the definitive. If there was ever an X factor in the history of Super Bowls, you can give me any Super Bowl. You can call me up, 381-1313, 381-1313, and give me any other Super Bowl that you think there was an X factor bigger than Tyreek Hill, and I'll tell you why you're wrong. But I don't think people want to call into a radio show to be told they're wrong. I'll tell you why you're right.
Okay. I like that. Now,
Jimmy, I'm not really going to. I'm going to tell them they're wrong.
Don't say that.
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Because he is the definitive one. I don't think there's a better player on the field.
You know the people in the Chiefs say that Mecole Hardman is actually faster than Tyreek Hill?
No way.
That's what they say. They say he wins in races.
Was that during the 84 and a half hours of Super Bowl coverage this week?
No, I've just heard that. It was at one of the playoff games they were talking about, Mecole Hardman. Not that he's a better player, but just in a straight line race, which is crazy because Tyreek Hill's fast. But something I will say about Tyreek Hill, a lot of receivers like him that are just quote-unquote fast, they have two routes that they run. They can run little tunnel screens, bubble screens, and a go. But Tyreek Hill can go through the whole route tree. If you watch him run routes, mm-hmm. He will rip you apart as a defense. His double moves that he has, and you can't just be fast to run a double move. Because if you're just fast, you run a double move, your footwork, your hips, they don't work the right way. No one's going to buy you. And so with him, he is a good technical receiver. He's gotten better. When he first came in the league, he wasn't so much. But he's kind of able now to run through the whole route tree, and you don't normally see that with a guy who is, quote-unquote, just a speedster. You know, there's been guys in the past that were just speedsters and they didn't go through the whole route tree, but Tyreek Hill is able to do that. And I think it helps having someone like Pat Mahomes in a great offensive line that I think allowed the least amount of sacks in all of the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives Pat Mahomes time for Tyreek Hill that could be neutralized today, though.
And give us a call 381-1313. If you want to talk about something, you can come on the air and talk about it with us. We're more than welcome to do that.
Yeah.
So the thing about what makes Tyreek Hill special in that is because of that. That's why I don't think he gets talked about as one of the best receivers in the NFL is because he can run the route.
Exactly. But
that's
people
why.
Assume he can't. It's the stereotypes. Every position has those stereotypes, and that's his.
Right. And by the way, I said biggest X factor, by the way. And like I said, if you want to come in, and you want to call us, I'm more than free to talk about anything on the air. Don't say you don't want to come on the air and call me, all right? Because because I just had someone, and I hate to give people that do this like some light, but they asked me, why do I think that Tyreek Hill is better than Joe Montana is what I was asked. I did not say Tyreek Hill is the best player in Super Bowl history. No. Did I say that, Jimmy?
No, you said X factor.
X factor. X factor means the player that can swing the game the most.
In all of the meetings, he's the guy that is circled when they go over everything on their presentation.
And I said, I think Tyreek Hill's the best player in this Super Bowl, is what I said. In 2020, 49ers versus Chiefs, I think Tyreek Hill's the best player that will grace the field today.
Yeah.
I did not say he was better than Joe Montana.
No.
All right? And if you want to call, come and talk to us. All right? Don't do that. Don't do that.
We're just talking.
Yeah. I mean, and I love to talk to you. That guy, he seemed kind of cool. Yeah. Like, I wish he would have come on and talked to us. But if you're not going to come on and talk to us.
Come on.
What are you doing?
That's what we're here for.
What are you doing, bud?
Yeah, hey.
What are you doing, bud? But, hey, Joe Montana, great, great player. Did you know he won 4 Super Bowls?
I did.
Wow.
All in the 80s.
Wow, all in the 80s.
Yeah. In 80. One decade.
Which was easily the worst period in football history.
I know you're right, but stop it. It doesn't matter.
I just swallowed my hair. I'm sorry.
Don't take that away from
me. No, I actually don't know that. I did not know that was the worst period for football.
You know the Niners are also 2-0 in Miami in Super Bowls. They won
really?
With Montana's last Super Bowl against the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
where Montana had, I believe, that 92-yard drive to win the game with a touchdown.
Jerry Rice in the back of the end zone?
No.
No.
It's Jonathan Taylor. It was not Jerry Rice.
Dang it. Why do I keep thinking that?
Well, because Jerry Rice is the greatest of all time, but no.
He is the greatest. It is crazy.
Jonathan Taylor didn't get a lot of love because he was the second to Jerry Rice, but like he was their punt returner. He was their big play guy, and he was winning.
And there was that Dwight Clark guy, I guess, against the Cowboys, and that
was pretty good.
By the way, the NFL 100 lists.
Yeah.
Have I told you about how much I hated those, Jimmy? Have we talked about that before?
We still need to dedicate, and I don't even know if a 2-hour show would be enough.
It would get us kicked off the air. Because it makes me so angry.
Yeah.
How bad that list was. How bad that list was. Here's the thing. I get it. If it's a good game, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Put that game in the top 100. You are not going to tell me an NFC Championship game was the best game ever. You're just not going to. Mm-mm. You're not going to when the Patriots came back from 28-3 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter to win a Super Bowl, you're not going to tell me that's the best game of all time. I don't want to hear it. I just don't. I'm so mad.
Get out of
How
my
did
mug.
I get that? Here's the thing. For something that I love so much, this is what it must be to be married. And you're going to tell me about this here in the near future.
I got 6 months.
You got 6 months.
Yeah.
Is to love something so much and to be so angry at it at the same time. Because that's what the NFL did to me.
Yes.
I love the NFL. I love football. I love pro football. It is the greatest thing. The Super Bowl today is our bar mitzvah.
It's the greatest.
You know, this is what today is. And that NFL 100 list made by the NFL infuriated me.
Well,
it still infuriates me to this day.
You can't hate something a lot unless you love it. Because if you don't care about something, you're not going to hate it.
That's true.
That's life.
Speaking of something I love a lot and I tend to hate sometimes, give us a call, 381-1313, if you want to talk about Kentucky-Auburn, because I don't. But if you want to talk about it, I will talk about it with you.
Yeah.
And Jimmy will talk about it. Jimmy's probably going
to
talk about it
I'll figure out a way to spin it back to the game today.
23 points for Dowdy? I mean, I know who Okoro was. I thought he was one of the best players in college basketball. Wiley is really good. McCormick, and I knew Purifoy. I knew all of those guys. I don't know who Dowdy is. I did not know who that guy was, and he just happens to be their leading scorer. 44 free throws to 24, Jimmy.
It's a lot.
That is...
It's quite a disparaging number.
I don't know if I told you this in the first hour, but I'm going to tell you now.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 44 free throw attempts in a game, that's essentially every minute you can stop the clock and put an Auburn player for one free throw at the free throw line. Every minute for an entire game.
A little more than a minute. It's like every 56 seconds.
I know, but I didn't go to math school, Jimmy.
But it just makes it drives the point home more. You know, if they'd stopped the game every 57 seconds and said, Auburn, come over here, that's what it would have been like.
NFL referees, not actually that bad. College basketball referees, the absolute worst of all time. I still can't believe someone tried to call and talk to me off the air about my Tyreek Hill take. Come on the air and talk to us about it if you don't like. Come on, man. It's still. Why does everything make me angry today, Jimmy?
I don't know, Kentucky, but you just went around in a circle with like three different things. I was like, you're really angry right now.
I just hate the NFL Top 100 list. I hate that Kentucky lost to Auburn, and I hate it when people won't talk to me on the air. 381-1313. I don't want to get any angrier. Jimmy, let's take a break.
Okay.
But
when we come back, we'll finish up more Super Bowl. Will you finally make your pick?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Okay.
You will get my pick at 10. I will give you the exact time that you can tune in to 1300 AM or 92.5 FM or at WLXG.com.
Yeah.
10:55 on the dot.
Okay.
You tune in at 10:55. I will give you my Super Bowl pick.
Wow.
Are you going to give us your Super Bowl pick? Oh, wait.
No, I'll give you like an actual pick, though. Obviously, I know the Niners are going to win, but I'll give you like
pick. What was that? Oh, I actually know the 49ers are going to win?
That's me knocking on
it. All right.
Because I don't trust myself.
You know what? Since we're talking about the NFL today,
mm-hmm.
we have not talked about... Let's do a little detour.
Okay.
We're on I-95. Is that what the interstate is in Florida?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
What's the main one, Jimmy?
There's I-10. That goes east to west. And then I believe 95, it goes north to south off the east coast. Yeah. I think that's
Jimmy,
it.
I could jump over this counter right now at you. Yes, I-95 is what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Let's go I-95. Let's take a little detour into Fort Lauderdale before we hit Miami. Just a quick rest stop.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the NFL Hall of Fame.
Okay. Then we can go to Disney.
Okay. Then we're going to Miami for the Super Bowl.
All right.
And I'm going to give you my Super Bowl pick,
okay,
Jimmy.
So we'll talk about the Hall of Fame, because the 2020 Hall of Fame class was announced yesterday. That's coming up. Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
This is Jimmy and Angelo. Give us a call at 381-1313 or tweet us at ESPN Radio Lex. Now here's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 at Jimmy and Angelo on Twitter and Facebook, 381-1313.
And if you want to talk about Kentucky and Auburn.
Sure.
I don't. But if you want to talk about Kentucky and Auburn.
If you're just waking up.
381-1313. You can give us a call. 381-1313. I might not want to talk about it because because we lost. But I will talk about it with you.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you're mad. Because how a team can have 44 free throws in a game at home.
Yeah.
And not be suspicious to me. It's beyond me. It's beyond me. But you know what? I'm going to chill about it for now.
Yeah.
I'm going to chill out. Okay. Because we've got stuff to talk. By the way, I said in the last segment that Tyreek Hill is the best player in this Super Bowl.
This year.
And he is the biggest X factor in Super Bowl history. X factor. Not best player in Super Bowl history. He is not better than Joe Montana.
Or Steve Young.
Or Tom Brady. Steve Young. Come on,
Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice, though, right?
Okay, I'll give you Jerry Rice. You're my guy. I'll give you Jerry Rice. Stop naming 49ers players right now.
All right.
But yes, Jerry Rice, yes. He is the biggest X factor, which means he, I think, can swing a game more than any buddy in history.
Yeah.
All right? He is. He's not the best player.
Tough to argue
He's
that.
Just, I mean, when you're fast and, like you said, which is the critical element into making him the key X factor, he can run the whole route tree.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have someone that fast against a defense that, Jimmy, no offense, your defensive backs aren't fast.
No, they're not fast.
They're big.
Witherspoon is.
And they're tough.
Witherspoon gets his feet stuck in the dirt a lot,
and
he gets left behind. Sherman is—he's never been fast. He's not that guy.
Look, Devontae Adams—he's an elite receiver in my opinion. He's not a burner, and he stuck the bread that is Richard Sherman into a toaster and set the timer for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you know that little dial on the toaster is a timer? And the 1 to 5 is minutes?
I did, but it was one of the...
I didn't! I thought it was...
Oh, I haven't. It's not that I've known. It was recently, and it was like, how many years old were you when you found this out? And it was like, I'm today years old.
Dude,
and I was 27.
I thought it was just a scale. Do you like your toast on a 1 toasted or a 5, which means it's going to be black when it comes out.
It makes so much sense.
It does. I always thought it was just...
A scale.
A scale of how dark you want your toast.
The more you know. Or
I
Eggos.
Feel like an idiot for it. Yes, 381-1313 if you want to talk about the travesty that was the officiating at the Kentucky-Auburn game.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about the NFL Hall of Fame.
Big class that was announced.
The
centennial class.
You know what's so funny? It is the centennial class. Is this not maybe the worst like Hall of Fame class you can remember, though?
There's not a lot that jumps out at you, I guess we could say. There's when I read you the names.
No.
Maybe for all of them. Maybe not one or two, but the other three you might go.
Like,
really?
Like, let's start off at the top. Troy Polamalu,
I think.
If you had to say who's the headliner of this class, it's Polamalu.
Absolutely.
And I love Troy Polamalu. He is absolutely a Hall of Famer. He was the second best safety to Ed Reed, in my opinion, growing up.
Yeah.
Like, growing up, for me, like, he was the guy, like, other than Ed Reed. I mean, he's great, but he's not Peyton Manning. He's not LaDainian Tomlinson. He's not Randy Moss. Like, he's great, but he's not those guys. So at first you don't have like a major headliner. He's the number one, but get on to the rest of your list.
So up next, we have Steve Atwater, who played safety for the Broncos from 1989 to 99. He was an 8-time Pro Bowler. He won 2 Super Bowls. He was the first big safety. He was 6'3", 220. And back in the early 90s, that just wasn't really a thing to be 6'3", 220. Some linebackers were that size. And so he was a huge hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You remember he had that play against Christian Okoye for the Chiefs.
Oh, how could you forget?
And if you've ever seen any NFL films, it's that hit that you remember. So he's one guy. But he's been out of the league for almost 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of head-scratching. It's interesting now he makes it. Isaac Bruce, receiver for the Rams. Underrated.
He's underrated. He's a stat compiler.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he reminds me of? Which he's going to come up here soon, and I don't think this guy's a Hall of Famer. Is Reggie Wayne.
Really? Similar, though.
But you are my wide receiver guy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say you think Reggie Wayne's a Hall of Famer, I would be more inclined to give you like that nod.
Yeah.
Like, if you think he is, maybe you can change my mind. But nobody else can, because I think Reggie Wayne is the prototypical like stat compiler. Mm-hmm. Like he was really good being Peyton, like the number two to Marvin Harrison. And then when he had his own thing going on, he like got a lot of like Peyton Manning end of his career and then Andrew Luck's start.
Yeah.
Where at that point he wasn't really doing much and it was like, you know what? I remember listening to broadcasts, Reggie Wayne. What a guy.
Yeah.
What an amazing receiver. What just like he's going to be wearing a gold jacket someday. And I was like, no, he's not. Actually, I really don't think so. Hold on, let me look him up real quick.
He's definitely a fringer. Like he's not someone that you would say 100% without a doubt in the Hall of Fame. Like he's almost in that category of like a Torrey Holt.
Mm-hmm.
I would put Andre Johnson over Reggie Wayne.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
So I kind of look at guys in like that tier where if Reggie Wayne got in, I would say, oh, okay. But if he didn't get in, he's very, very close, I would say.
Reggie Wayne at 32 years old made an all-pro team. Now, he made 6 Pro Bowls, which is really impressive.
Especially in that era. There was a lot of good receivers when he was there.
His 1 year as a first-team all-pro guy, he had 111 catches, which is like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of catches. Only 1,300 yards and 6 touchdowns for a first-team all-pro guy.
And having Peyton Manning throwing you the ball. So he threw touchdowns.
Yeah, that was obviously in 2010. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah,
let me look up Isaac Bruce real quick. Because
I have some numbers. He's one of 5 players to have 1,000 catches, 15,000 yards, and 90 touchdowns in his career. Mm-hmm. So like you said, he's a stat compiler.
Mm-hmm. He made 4 Pro Bowls, was never first-team All-Pro.
Isaac Bruce?
Yeah, in his career.
Which is interesting. But he also had Torrey Holt right next to him his entire career.
He played
most of his career.
Yeah, he played for 16 years from the age 22 to age 37. Forgot about this.
Mm-hmm.
Played last 2 seasons in San Francisco.
He did.
Former San Francisco legend, Isaac Bruce.
Who said that? That's not
me.
You did not read that because that would make me angry.
But go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you. Give me your stats, please.
No, I was just saying he's one of 5 players with 1,000 catches, 15,000 yards, and 90 touchdowns, which is an elite group to be in.
Yeah.
Not that he had one season that stood out where it was like, oh, remember that season with Isaac Bruce? He didn't really have that, but he played 16 years. Kind of like a Larry Fitzgerald, where you look at the culmination of his career, it's like, dang, he never didn't put up numbers. Mm-hmm. He was never going to lead the league in catches or anything like that, Isaac Bruce, but he's just consistently, if you average out his stats, he probably averaged 80 catches, just over 1,000 yards, and maybe 7 touchdowns, but he did it over 16 years.
And here's a really big part, I think, to his Super Bowl consideration.
Mm-hmm.
He played in the playoffs 5 times, and 4 of those playoffs, he averaged 100 yards. Or excuse me, in 3 of those playoffs, he averaged 100 yards a game. So in the year that the Rams won the Super Bowl at the greatest show on turf, in 3 games, he had 317 yards.
It's pretty good.
That's Larry Fitzgerald level of postseason production. The next year in 2000, when they only played 1 game, the Rams did. He had 7 catches for 127 yards and a touchdown. The next year, played 3 games, 14 for 159 and a touchdown. And then
I believe in one of those, it might have been the greatest show on turf year, he had back-to-back 170-yard reception receiving yards games. So that was one of
those.
Must
have been
it. Yeah, where he showed up when it counted.
But Isaac Bruce, just to give there, like as much as I respect Isaac Bruce, not necessarily a guy that we scream like that guy's
must
a Hall of
Famer. He has to be.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's been out of the league for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not. This wasn't his first.
Who
or
else
second
is on
chance.
The list?
Steve Hutchison.
Offensive linemen aren't sexy, but him and Alan Faneca growing up were the best guards in the game.
Yeah.
Steve Hutchison got, at the time, the largest contract ever for an offensive lineman, or it was an offensive guard one. He had like a 7-year, like $55 million when he went from the Seahawks to the Vikings. Because
he
was a part of that great offensive line in Seattle that got Sean Alexander the MVP award with Walter Jones, who got in the Hall of Fame, I think, a year or two ago. And Hutchison was, in his time, just the best offensive guard. And people thought he, like, changed the game for offensive
he
guard.
He also led the way for Adrian Peterson to lead the league in rushing, too, when he went to Minnesota.
Wow. Then he's awesome.
He definitely deserves it. He had 44 straight games with no penalties. 44.
As an offensive guard?
That is almost 3 seasons with no penalties. That is unheard of.
Impossible.
Exactly. Maybe nowadays, because I feel like everyone's getting called. But back then, the game may have been different. But regardless, that is impressive.
Yeah.
To have that for an offense. So absolutely, he 1,000% deserves it.
By the way, give us a call at 381-1313, 381-1313, if you want to talk about Kentucky-Auburn, because what am I going to say next?
You don't.
Because I don't. But if you want to talk about it, you can give us a call. And also, I'm going to give my Super Bowl pick at 10:55.
Yes, we have 10 minutes and 10 seconds until Angela gives that pick. So next on the Hall of Fame for the 2020 induction. So we've gone through Troy Polamalu, Steve Atwater, Isaac Bruce, Steve Hutchison, and now Edgerrin James.
That was the biggest surprise.
Yeah.
For me. Now, here's the thing. If you look at running backs that have three or more all-pro teams, first team all-pro, they typically make a Super Bowl.
The Hall of Fame, I think, is what Angela meant. Yeah. So, Edgerrin James, he played from 99 to 2009. He won Rookie of the Year in 1999, and he also won the rushing title in that year in 99 and 2000. So, as a rookie, he led the NFL in rushing, and then the following year won the rushing title again with 1,500 yards and then 1,700 yards.
I want to be clear. I did mean to say the Hall of Fame.
Okay,
because it's interesting because NFL, if you look at the running backs, like and I mean, I don't mean to bring this name up in any joking way, but O.J. Simpson, he sucked for like 3 years. And then he made five straight All-Pro, like first-team All-Pro, and then he sucked again. But we remember
that stretch.
Well, we don't remember O.J. Simpson for his great running ability. Terrell Davis, let's go there. That's a little safer.
Better
Terrell
name.
Davis, 4 years, and he made, I think, like four first-team All-Pros in those, and then he got hurt, and he was never the same. He made the Hall of Fame. So pretty much... Excuse me on that one. I did not mean that. Edgerrin James, if you look at his career, all right, he made first team all pro. Oh, I thought he made first team all pro three times. He only made it once. And that was his rookie year when you said he led the league in rushing yards. He led the league in rushing yards again the next year, didn't make the first team all pro, but he made a Pro Bowl. And he made two more Pro Bowls. But he had 7,000 yard seasons.
That's pretty good.
And I think Edgerrin James is a phenomenal player. And I think that he deserves to be in a Football Hall of Fame. And let's see, he had 1, 2, 3 years over 2,000 yards from scrimmage. 8 seasons with over 1,000 yards from scrimmage.
That's pretty good.
So
when Peyton Manning is your commander in chief there, it does help you to get the ball spread out.
But then again, he throws a lot to his wide receivers to get all that work. Let's see what Sean thinks about Edgerrin James. Sean, do you think that Edgerrin James is the greatest running back to ever play football?
I mean, I'm going to say no. Now you're going to want me to throw one out there, but I just don't think it's Edgerrin James. Do you?
No. No.
Okay. Just want to make
I think
sure
it's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, he's solid. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of a Herschel Walker guy.
Me too. Go ahead.
If it ended today, what seed do y'all think Kentucky is? If it ended today, I'm coming in a little bit late. What seed would the Cats be if it ended today?
Kentucky was ranked, you know what? I want to say a 4 seed, but I'm going to say a 5.
Yeah.
I think with
the I was going to go 3 just in the virtue of their name, but you're probably right.
No, I'm with you. I think 3. I think I undersold him. Look, I'm still upset from yesterday, Sean. I'm still upset, all right?
A little sore.
I mean, like, here's the thing. I just, you know, with for every loss you get, you knock down a seed for me. If you have one loss, you're 1 seed. If you have 2 losses, you're 2 seed. That's kind of the way I see it. But you're right. This is such a down year in college basketball. A team with, like, I don't know, 27 losses could have a 1 seed by the end of the year. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
We're going to have a 2 seed of 8 or 9 losses, right?
I mean, it feels that way. Remember when Duke got the 1 seed, like the number one overall seed, and they had like 9 losses, and it was because Coach K hurt his back and was out for like 2 months. That was a load of malarkey, if you ask me.
It's fixed.
Well, I know y'all are winding down, so I know the world's been waiting on it. I'm going to say Niners by 7, just to throw something out there.
Actually. Niners by 7. Do you want to enter our? You can enter our Super Bowl contest, and if you win, you'll get a $25 gift card to Clark's Pumpkin Shop, as well as a 12-pack of Pepsi and a bag of chips. Do you want to enter that contest, Sean?
What's up?
All right, Sean. So now to get in this contest, now I'm surprised we didn't do this the whole time. I kind of forgot about it, so you're the only caller that can get in on this contest unless someone calls us immediately after this. Give me the score prediction. You have San Francisco, right? You just said that.
Yes. I will go Niners 31. Chiefs 24.
All right.
Okay, I think you... Okay, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, and then total number of yards of offense for both teams.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Combined.
I'd say go 1,000 on the dot. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God, no doubt. Shit, 720.
720. There we go.
All right, Sean, thanks so much for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
1,000 might be a bit much.
No, I think 1,000.
1,000.
I mean... The 49, here's the thing. Here's the thing people forget.
Yeah.
And that's that you can compile yards rushing the ball because as a Packers fan, believe me, you can do it. You can do it. Raheem Mostert had like 210 by himself.
Sure did.
And I do not like the way you said that.
That might have been a bit triggering that I used the tone
that
I did.
That was. You know what? I think I'm changing my Super Bowl pick. You know, I forget what I was going to say. I think I'm changing my Super Bowl pick, and you will find out. At 10:55 on the dot.
Less than 5 minutes till your Super Bowl pick. So that is what we have. So that was the whole Hall of Fame class. We got through it. Troy Polamalu, Steve Atwater, Isaac Bruce, Steve Hutchison, and Edgerrin James.
Yep.
And I did see Bill Cowher will also be put in the Hall of Fame.
Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson, whatever. Oh,
that's right, the Jimmy Johnson when he went viral because he cried. Yeah.
I would have cried too. Probably. I feel bad for Drew Pearson.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. He was upset. And it made me sad.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. So we've got Angelo's highly coveted and anticipated Super Bowl pick that's coming up right at 10:55. Don't miss it. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
This is Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
If this song doesn't get you juiced for a Super Bowl of your favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers, then what will?
I'm so juiced right now. Nothing could.
Like OJ Simpson?
Yeah, so juiced. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Today's a big day. There is a game that's happening this afternoon. And this evening, I should say.
And I said I would give my pick at 10:55, which is in 15 seconds.
Can we do a countdown?
I'll let you pick. Okay. I think that would be bad radio.
Would it be bad radio?
Well, 10, 9. Yeah, it's bad.
All right, well, I'll still let you give your pick first.
So wait, I want you to give your pick. Oh, okay, because you want to, because it's your favorite team, I'll let you pick last. Right. So it's 10:55 on the dot. So this is what I got.
Yeah.
All right. I keep betting against teams that I either hate or I love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And every single time, Jimmy, how did my Browns picks do this year?
Not very good.
And I hate them.
Yeah.
How did my Packers picks do this year?
They didn't do very good.
No, and I love them. All right. And I said at some point in November, I was like, you know what? Everybody's sleeping on the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is. Okay. And to pick against them is dumb. And what did I do as soon as the playoffs started, Jimmy?
Picked against them.
Yeah.
Picked the Ravens.
Yeah. Okay.
They were your guys.
And so logically, I should just go with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I'm just not. I think the Super Bowl is going to be super high scoring.
You think?
I do.
Hmm.
I think both of these offenses are two of the best. I think along with the Ravens, these are the three best offenses in football this year.
Yeah.
The defenses are good. I think the 49ers defense is a tad overrated. I don't think that they are bad by any means. I think they're one of the best defenses in the league. I just think they're a little overrated because they have a great defensive line, but everything behind that except for Quan Alexander and maybe Fred Warner, I'll give them that. You know, kind of sus. You know, kind of suspect to me. I'm going to pick the 49ers to win the Super Bowl. I finally, it took me during the afternoon show. I had a caller called in and guessed 34-20 San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else before that picked the Chiefs. And I was like, good pick, good pick, good pick. And then when the guy picked the 49ers, I said, that's the correct pick.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew that I think the 49ers are going to win this contest. I am going to go 38-35. And even then, I think that might be too low scoring. I'm going to go 38-35 49ers.
Really?
And I think this game will go into overtime.
Bold move.
Yep. So that's my prediction. I think it's going to be an overtime game. I think the 49ers are going to win. And prop bet of the week, bet your money on heads.
On who?
Heads.
Oh, heads.
For the coin toss.
For the coin toss. Okay.
What about you, Jim?
I've gone back and forth on a couple scores. I think I know the scenario that I think is going to happen at the end of the game. I think the 49ers will score towards the end of the game. So I've gone back and forth 27-23, 31-27, where, you know, the Chiefs are up 27-20 and or 27-20, let's see, 27-24, and then the Niners score to get to 30. So, but I think my final that I'm going with is 34-30, 49ers. Because I think it's going to be a close game. I just don't see it being more high scoring than that, just because the Niners defense is going to, I think, neutralize, and there's going to be a huge turnover that changes
the
game.
Did you say huge?
Huge. The most huge.
I think that everybody thinks that Patrick Mahomes is perfect.
He's not.
He's not.
He's not throwing an interception on the playoffs.
I think that his pocket presence is not good. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to dropping back, he's gotten away with, you know, fading back, my arm will do the rest. This is not the game he's going to be able to do that. I think he's going to take, and whatever the over-under is on prop bets on how many sacks that Patrick Mahomes takes, take the over. Yeah. I think he's going to be, I think that his pocket presence is not very good, and I think it's going to rear its ugly head today.
Yeah, I agree. I think in something that I think we need to keep an eye on, and I've been calling this for a couple weeks, watch for the 49ers to do one of those Philly special trick plays. They ran one against Seattle in the regular season that Debo Samuel scored on a reverse. But in that play, Jimmy Garoppolo was running up the sideline. Mm-hmm. Watch for it. I'm saying watch for it. But that and a big Nick Bosa strip sack is going to change the game.
You know what? Since you picked the 49ers, I'm picking the Chiefs.
Do
that
it.
Way we got that way we've Do got it. Fans on both sides. I'm taking the Chiefs.
You and everybody else just trying to be homers. What about the national anthem? You think Demi Lovato will go over or under 2 minutes
stop
and four
it.
Seconds?
We gotta go.
We're just getting into the good stuff. We'll be back next week. It's Jimmy and Angelo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.